League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Is Daddy Cat Derek Carp talking to you?
You might have a lower voice than I do right now.
I mean, I've always had a lower voice than you do. I feel like I have a lower voice, but it's also like teenage boy, like cracking a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like it's struggle bus, honestly. I'm so sorry we couldn't do an NMR this week, but we did our Patreon live stream and my voice just needed a break for a minute. Because I had BravoCon, and we'll get to all of that stuff next week on NMR, because I know we have kind of a big case today that we want to get to. But I apologize for my voice. I am literally, we're recording this the day after a 4-day marathon of BravoCon. I've never been more tired in my life.
And how was it? Can you just tell us quickly, was it like, because this is the first one in a couple of years, right? In
person. This is the second one we've ever done since 2019 was the first one. Hard to do it in COVID because, you're spending so much for tickets. You don't want to take a picture in a mask. You don't want everyone walking around in a mask.
No, that's true.
Like, you don't want that. It was really great. I thought Bravo did an amazing job. There were incredible activations. If you watched Bravo at all this weekend, you probably saw some of my spots on air, which were really fun. But it was, for me personally, like amazing, but just like, honestly, I've never been that exhausted in my whole life. Like I would come home and I would just like immediately go to bed. I couldn't do anything else. I didn't have any energy to do anything. I had done so much.
And
so,
to be like on like that, and that's like, I'm sure you were being recognized. Did any of our listeners by any chance, Darren, spot you and be like, I love your podcast?
I did get a bunch of people saying they love the podcast, which was really, really great. But that's the thing. It's not even just like long work hours. It's that I have to like interview and be on and be screaming. Hence the reason my voice is like this. So I have to just admit right up the top, today I'm drinking Gatorade Zero.
Just going to say, in between our little pauses, you guys, she's chugging Gatorade Zero, which she's turned me on to, by the way.
Nadine has been so lovely in making me like hot water a lot, but today I don't think alcohol is really going to help my voice
definitely
at all.
Not.
Might help my mentality, but it
yeah, that's right. That's right.
What are you drinking today?
Well, then? I'm really upset because I ran out of Java House coffee. Okay, that's number
me
one.
Me too.
I know. It's really annoying. I've drank it all. So I was like, let me just run up to the new Starbucks that just opened in my hometown. I'm really pumped about it. By the way, would not go to Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, we don't do that in this house.
Well,
but anyway,
stop ordering your hazelberry bullshit.
Well,
listen,
that was
hazelberry.
A mistake. But so I went to Starbucks. They're out of everything. You know, these new stores, you know, people love to go. My hometown's pumped about it. But it's like, you know, you go up there and I wanted a pumpkin spice. Mm. And I'll tell you why in a second. With soy milk. I don't love soy milk, but I do love it with a hot latte. Okay, let me live. Then I ordered a cream cheese pumpkin muffin. A cream cheese pumpkin muffin. They're out of that. I'm like, okay, so back to the latte. They're out of soy milk. They're like, the only milk we have is almond milk, which I typically like if it's sweetened. I was like, all right, almond milk's good. The whole point was I was going to come back here to my desk, to my studio, and I was going to splash a little bit of apple pie Bailey's into it just to give a really fall flavor. Well, let me just tell you something.
Let me say.
I took two sips of this almond milk, if that's what they're calling it at Starbucks latte.
Yeah,
oh my God. It tasted like dishwater. I got home. I didn't even finish it. I got home and I threw it out into the yard. I was like so angry. So my drink of the week has been thwarted, unfortunately. But next week I'll be back drinking probably Java House again because I'm going to place an order for it. But anyway, Darren, you've been running your ass off at BravoCon. How did that go? Did you take Lumi gummies to try to keep yourself
Okay, shockingly, it's weird that you said that because I actually did.
Oh my god!
Which it actually helped me because at the end of the night, even though I was exhausted,
yeah,
like here's what happened: my adrenaline was just go for honestly 20 hours every day from Thursday to Sunday.
It was Thursday. Oh my god!
Yeah, I had to do pre-pro Thursday and start filming on Thursday, but there weren't any fans to interact with, but you're still doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you're on.
And
on,
sometimes when you're doing that, you're not hungry because your adrenaline is like just 100% going. And so I kind of had a hard time at night coming down from it, even though I was exhausted. So it's like I could sleep, but my stomach hurt and I just wasn't feeling great. So I took Lumi before I went to bed because I didn't want to wake up groggy. I didn't want to I didn't want it to be latent. I just wanted to kind of just like calm me down, help me sleep, and also stimulate my hunger a little bit. And it did just that. So it was like,
oh my god!
Shockingly, it really saved my life. So thank God for Lumi gummies, let me tell you.
Microdose gummies, we love it. Our show today is sponsored by Microdose gummies, by the way. Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good, like Darren was enjoying.
I was definitely feeling the right amount of good and the right amount of, my voice was not feeling the right amount of good, though.
That's true.
Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code SHAKEN to get free shipping and 30% off your first order.
Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdose.com, code SHAKEN. If I do say so myself, I think your voice is really cute. I kind of like this raspier, deeper sound. Listen, if at any point... If at any point you need to take a break, I will take over the whole show. We can call Megan. We could call a listener even. I've been collecting their phone numbers. Like, we can make this work. So don't worry, okay?
Yeah, maybe we'll make it a fun listener experience where, like, I say every other word.
Right, and they fill in
the blanks.
But then Megan,
so it's like weather, looking, true.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. And by the way, that is one of our lines here. So let's get right into the show, actually.
Let's do it.
So since its launch in 2012, over 65 million matches have been made on the popular dating app Tinder.
Did you ever meet a match on Tinder?
I did,
date someone for a long period of time. Your ex, right?
Yes, I did. My ex-boyfriend and I met on Tinder. Obviously did not end well. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that doesn't
mean, though,
like it's not successful. Like,
no, for sure.
That's
the thing.
Like, 65 million matches, like that's a lot of matches, but how many of them are going to, you know?
No, for sure. I still use Tinder. I'll be honest. It's interesting. Like, you know, there's so many different dating apps now. There's Bumble, there's Hinge, there's
Raya.
What else? Raya, if you can make it onto Raya, if you're famous enough. Yeah, there's all kinds of different things now, but Tinder was sort of like, you know, there was Match and OkCupid, but they weren't app focused. Like they were sort of websites that made apps later, but Tinder was kind of like the first real, in my opinion, like big dating app. And I still use it. I connect with some folks from time to time. Let's just put it that way.
I had two girlfriends come off of Tinder, so can't really complain about it.
Mama has needs and daddy cat. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, whether they're looking for true love, friendship, or a night of fun, every day millions of people have turned to Tinder to help them make a new connection. This sounds like an ad. It's not.
It does. It's
But what happens, Darren, when the person on the other end isn't who they say they are? Have you ever been
catfished?
Yeah.
I have not been catfished, thank God. Although, you know, there are times, it's less with women. I think men do this more sometimes, where they'll lie about their height or something like that. I've heard people lie about weight, height, maybe having like one side. I've never really had that, but like I know that that happens quite a bit.
Yeah. No, yeah, it does happen. I've never been catfished on a date, but like I know so many people that have. And like there have been times where I've gone on a date where I've been like, okay, you need to update your photos. Let's just put it that way. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. No judgment, but you know, false advertisement. Anyway. When online dating has made it increasingly easy to chat and connect with others, when in the wrong hands, it can lead to disaster. In some cases, Darren, even murder. And Sydney Loof, who was born in Broken Bow, Nebraska, shout out to anybody who might be listening from there.
You think it's Bow or Bow?
Broken Bow. Oh, maybe Bow. Because it's probably, I would imagine,
Native American. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
That's
a
good
asking.
One. No, Broken Bow. I like it. On she was born August 21st, 1993, to her parents, Susie and George Loof. Overall, she was described as a happy child who loved spending time outdoors and participating in sports. In high school, a severe curve in her spine began to form, causing her much pain and discomfort.
Do you remember those scoliosis checks where you'd have to like bend over?
I was just going to ask. I feel like, do they do those still? Because it was always so awkward.
It's so weird. I'm like, wait, why am I bending over?
And also, like, and at least in my case, like, it was never like very clear what they were doing. I was like, they were like, we're checking your spine. We're like, for what? Like, I don't, you know, and they, you tell a middle schooler what scoliosis is. It's like in one ear, out the other.
Right, exactly.
Well, that's exactly what was happening. Sydney was diagnosed with scoliosis and was forced to quit many of her beloved hobbies like basketball and golf. This took a significant toll on her mental health. And as, you know, Darren, you've been an athlete, you know, you've done a lot of physical stuff in your day.
And my mom wanted to name me Sydney. That was her like second choice for me. That
is, this an alternate universe?
It was gonna be it was Darren. My dad picked it. She wanted Skylar, but if not Skylar, I was gonna say remember Sydney Skylar. With a Y, like this young lady named after the Australian city. So
yeah, right. Okay,
very interesting.
Well, what I was saying was, you know, for me, you know, as an athlete myself, and you know, I'm a huge,
of course,
compassionate or very passionate tennis player. You know, when imagine, especially in high school, when you finally maybe have found something that you're really good at for the first time in your life, and then only for that to be taken away.
I mean, that's such a mental health release. And then, that's going to take a toll.
And I have a family member who was very, very, very good at sports. And this particular family member started having seizures like during his high school days. And he had to sort of cut back on like a lot of his athletic, you know, hobbies because of it. And it really was tough for him. So it's a lot. Well, anyway, as she neared graduation, Sydney was very unsure what exactly she wanted to do with her life when she graduated in 2011. Her parents encouraged her to stay home and work a part-time job until she figured it out. So pretty run-of-the-mill situation here. It's unfortunate about the scoliosis, but so far it's a very typical, I guess you could say, American lifestyle.
Well, also, I think now it's important to mention that college isn't for everybody, and it's really expensive endeavor. So sometimes it is important to take, important to take the time sometimes and figure out if what you want to do requires college or if that's a good thing, because it's not for everybody, and nor should it be.
I love that you said that, because moments before we started recording today, I applied for student debt relief program via the Biden administration.
Yeah, I bet.
I don't even think I qualify. It's a long story. But that for anyone who needs to hear that, the loan application submission portal is now live. So go apply for your relief.
Well, Sydney began working at the local grocery store, Menards, where she remained an employee for 6 years. On November 16th, 2017, Sydney failed to show up for her scheduled shift. Sydney was known to be incredibly reliable, and as a long-term employee, this did not sit well with her manager. After calling Sydney's phone and getting sent straight to voicemail, the manager decided to call the Liu family to see if her parents had any information. Always a little scary when something goes to voicemail, in my opinion.
Totally. And this is, I'm just kind of smirking right now because I remember you just recently told the story about you were in a meeting or something and Andy was like calling your family looking for you.
And I was like, I'm literally just not picking up because of
you're like, I'm on the other line. Like, it's not that serious.
Yeah. Well, Sydney's parents have not heard from her since the day before. A decision was made to call the police and officially report her missing. This phone call would only be the beginning of an investigation that nobody could have possibly predicted. 2 days before she was reported missing, on November 14th, Sydney had gone on a date with a woman she met on Tinder named Audrey.
Another similarity. Interesting.
Interesting. Well, I never went on with Audrey, but I like the idea of going on a date.
Right.
To women.
Right.
Finding love as a member of the LGBTQ plus community in a conservative state like Nebraska obviously had proven to be quite a challenge. But after her first date with Audrey, Sydney was smitten. She shared her excitement with friends, although didn't give much detail about Audrey herself.
It's new. It's early. You know, I get that.
You don't really know that much, you know? Yeah. Sydney had simply said that Audrey had picked her up. They drove around for a while, smoked some marijuana to get to know each other. Is this my life?
This is at the end of this episode, by the way, we're like, by the way, this is you. Your whole life has been a lie. Yeah.
That's right. I mean, it probably is. Yeah. She would go on to tell friends that they hit it off so well that Audrey had invited her to spend the night in her apartment. U-Haul, people.
Which
she hesitantly had to decline due to a shift at Menards the next day. Instead, they planned a second date the following night. And let me just tell you,
Yeah, go
because
ahead.
I feel like heterosexuals don't really understand this because there's always those rules of being like, we gotta wait 3 days, or like, I'll see you next week. Like, lesbians are not like this. Lesbians are like, if I had a great time with you, I want to see you in about 5 minutes. Like,
listen,
I want to see you the next day. Let's get the next date going. Let's go. That's it.
100%. Listen, and let me say this for the gay men, you know, similar in that, you know, I think for gay men, there's this standard where it's like almost like a hookup culture where most people hook up before they even go on a real date. And then
they won't know their names.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it
so
is
gays
a very
are in
different
timeline.
Gays are in a different thing.
Different timeline. We're in a different timeline. We're in the twilight zone, people. We're in the bi-light zone.
Well, not to, yeah, exactly, the bi-light zone. Not to go on about this, but I did just recently have a conversation with a straight male friend of mine, and he was talking about marriage and all the pressures he feels of being, and I'm like, I was telling him, you know, for gay people, especially our generation, Darren, I feel like because we didn't see it represented on television and in movies and whatever, we've sort of had to carve out our own rules and ambitions when it comes to relationships. And I think that is actually a more healthy way to do it. It serves your needs and your interests more than, say, I don't know, religion or family investments. Even, you know, I think there's even something to talk about with biological clocks, which I know is a big thing with straight relationships.
Definitely.
You know, so a lot of that is to be considered for those of you who may not have a gay friend. Although if you're listening to the show, come on, how do you not
get a gay friend?
Yeah, get a gay friend. If you don't, then it's us. Okay.
Right.
But anyway, let's get back to the show here. The following day, Sydney woke up and went into work for her shift. At approximately 6 p.m., CCTV caught Sydney leaving the store shortly after she had clocked out. Now, CCTV being, of course, closed circuit Captain, TV.
Yeah, closed circuit.
Whatever it might be. essentially, the cameras picked up that she had left. She then drove home and began getting ready for her date with Audrey. Darren, do you happen to know any Audreys? We should maybe clarify that.
I don't. Not any personal relationship.
Okay.
No.
Just checking in about that. Were you going to say something else? I kind of interrupted you. Okay.
No.
Oh, all right. Well, before leaving for the night, she shared a Snapchat story. Now, not often do you hear us talking about Snapchat on this show. A lot of our episodes are kind of
older. We're a little too old.
Yeah, exactly. It was a smiling photo of herself, and the caption read, quote, ready for my date. Okay. This post, however, tragically, would be the last time anyone would ever see or hear from Sydney. Upon learning this information, investigators immediately began trying to figure out who Audrey was. Right, I would be too.
Yeah.
Sydney herself was still in the process of getting to know this woman, so there hadn't been a lot of details shared with friends or family, giving investigators very little to go off of.
I don't know if I told you this. I think I did on Martinis and Murder, but that I was going on like a date once with a woman I met on Tinder, I want to say.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a drinker. She wanted to smoke. So she was like, come over to my apartment.
Yes.
And then I gave Andy the address.
Yes,
I was
like,
I'm
just gonna
going
say that.
Here because I was like, need the police to come quick.
And of course, this was before you knew me because otherwise you would have sent it to me. Right?
Yeah, no, you have the same sway with the police department as Andy Cohen.
As
for
Andy
sure,
Cohen.
For sure.
Oh, that's a good point. Certain
that's
influence.
Why I did that.
Certain influence.
That's right. I was like, it's going to get solved. This is getting solved.
No, that's true. Andy will solve it. Not only Andy, but a legion of housewives could help
exactly.
solve it. Exactly. Well, anyway, on November 17th, a wellness check was performed by police. They arrived at Sydney's apartment to find her car still in the driveway. Inside, they found her purse, her wallet, and car keys. Inside they found her purse, but her wallet and car keys appeared to be missing. Hmm. Other than that, everything in the home was perfectly in order. And this discovery leads investigators to a daunting conclusion. If Sydney had not planned on leaving, someone must have forced her, which is the sad reality about this kind of scene here at the home.
Well, police were able to track Sydney's cell phone near Wilbur, Nebraska, nearly 40 miles away from her apartment in Lincoln, before it seemingly was shut off. Without a full name or exact location for Audrey, investigators were at a loss. While the police were stuck, one of Sydney's friends took matters into her own hands. Brooklyn McChrystal, great name, came up with a plan to go on Tinder herself, set the exact specifications Sydney had on her Tinder, and swipe until she found Audrey's profile.
Love
this fucking sleuthness. Hello.
I love a digital sleuth who knows how to set a location on Tinder. Like, yes, Brooklyn, get it.
Well, amazingly, she was successful.
Oh my God.
And Audrey matched with Brooklyn, and the two began chatting. Brooklyn, can you imagine this?
Oh, my God.
Brooklyn traded numbers with Audrey and then immediately handed the information over to the police, finally giving them the break they needed to continue their investigation. I mean...
Listen.
To their surprise, this is why it's important to have smart friends. To their surprise, exactly. The number wasn't registered under an Audrey, mm-hmm. but rather under the name Bailey Boswell. Mm. Bailey was a 23-year-old living in Wilbur, Nebraska, with her boyfriend, 51-year-old Aubrey Trail.
Okay.
Not only so was their apartment... Yep. Alarmingly close to the last pinged location on Sydney's phone, but Aubrey's name was incredibly close to the name used on the fake profile.
Yeah, I was just going to clarify that. So, yeah, we have Audrey, who is actually Bailey Boswell, but her right. boyfriend's name is Aubrey. Okay.
That's right.
Everyone listening.
Audrey and Aubrey. Yes.
Exactly. So, originally.
Sorry if my voice can't.
No, your voice was great.
The difference. Yeah.
Okay. No, your voice is great. How is your voice? Let's check in. How is it?
We're good. No, we're good. We're moving right along. Right.
Chug your Gatorade. I'm going to take over now. Originally from Iowa, Bailey had come from a troubled background. Her father was murdered when she was very young. And as she grew into her teenage years, she began experimenting with drugs and hanging around questionable crowds. This continued into her adulthood as she fell further into a life of drug abuse and crime. Now, Aubrey and Bailey first met through Backpages, which is a website commonly used for sex work. So right. there's that. No shame against that. Aubrey reached out after seeing her post looking for, quote, a sugar daddy in the local area, end quote, and thus began their relationship. Listen, you know, we hear about all this stuff on Craigslist and God only knows where you can get things like that. Yeah, do your thing. Exactly. As long as you're not hurting anyone, right? Well, anyway, Bailey was not the only woman in Aubrey's life. He had a whole circle of women at his submission and referred to himself as the vampire sugar daddy.
Oh, yeah.
Which, let's be honest, is probably going to be the name of this episode. I'm going to be very honest with you right now.
Name of your memoir.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Or the name of your epitaph. There's a lot going on.
Exactly. Can I pause for 1 second? Because guess what? I need to tell everybody about Bath and Body Works. This is not an ad. This is not an ad. Because it's called Vampire Sugar Daddy, I have to tell you, the best scent, which I used to call flavors, and then everybody on the show told me it's called a scent. The best scent that Bath and Body Works makes is called Vampire Blood. And it is that what it is? Vampire blood. Guess. Yes, vampire blood. It is so deliciously. I would drink this bottle of hand sanitizer if I could.
If you were drinking it, then it would be a flavor.
Then it would be a flavor.
But if you're smelling it, it's a scent.
Exactly. Thank you. I appreciate you clarifying that.
I got you.
I did need to hear that, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, so I just want everyone to know this is not an ad. You know how I am. If there's a product, I'm trying it. So there you go. By the way, and then I posted about this on Instagram and everyone's like, oh my God, I have that candle. And I'm like, excuse me, there's candles?
Oh God.
If you guys know more about this, hit me up on Instagram. But let's get back to this story because I'm derailing this. So we've got vampire sugar daddy Aubrey, okay? He called these women that he, you know, kind of kept in his life witches, his witches. And Bailey, Darren, was the queen witch of them
all.
Love
it. Okay.
Not the queen consort, you know, like Camilla now is. This woman is the queen witch. So there's that. So long as his witches followed a list of specific rules, they'd be awarded a weekly allowance of $200. Okay. I mean, depends on what these rules are. I think we're going to get to that. At first, these rules were harmless things, such as referring to him as daddy, refusing to speak to other men, and checking in with him every few hours. By the way, these are the terms I have for Darren as well.
Oh, yeah. No, this is you and R. Kelly have the same
set of rules.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, these rules, while a bit non-traditional, were ultimately harmless and everyone involved was consenting to the exchange.
All true. And if they were consenting, then they're consenting.
Yeah. I mean, so far it's harmless, right? Well, approaching the fall of 2017, Aubrey's rules began to take a dark turn as he began expressing much more sinister desires. He began telling his witches that in order to gain true magical powers, they had to witness and breathe in someone's final breath.
Oh, Lord.
Very disturbing. Naturally, this frightened many of the women, and they abandoned Aubrey's coven. It's very much, yeah, it's definitely a coven in the sense that there's witch and paranormal type of stuff, but...
Cult, coven.
I was just going to say, this is more of a cult than anything
Or like
else.
A sex fetish, I can't really tell yet.
Right,
but
right.
Aubrey's lengthy record of fraud and theft piqued the attention of investigators enough to pursue him as a possible lead in Sydney's disappearance. They tracked down the apartment that belonged to the couple, but when officers arrived, the apartment was completely empty.
Oh my God.
They noted that part of the wall appeared damaged and smelled as if it had been wiped down with a strong cleaning agent. Mm. The landlord of the building informed police there had been a strong scent of bleach emanating from their apartment since the 16th, which was the day after Sydney's disappearance. Mm.
Can I say one thing? I would be a really good detective for this because I love cleaning products. You could say
you were like, that's Lysol power wash too.
100%. I could literally do that, and I'm not kidding. I love cleaning products. The smell of people think bleach is terrible. I love it. It gives me a sense of security. Keep going.
Well, this kind of is like, you know, strong sense of something like that. I mean, that's part of the reason Dahmer was you know, kind of a shady neighbor because he had a strong scent. Now, what bleach? But on November 28th, Bailey Boswell and Aubrey Trail were both declared persons of interest. While the search for Bailey and Aubrey began, some chilling CCTV footage was apprehended from local businesses. It appeared that on the day of Sydney's first date with Audrey, Aubrey had actually come to Maynard's while Sydney was working. The two crossed paths briefly as he entered the store and Sydney left. Inside the market, Aubrey purchased a container of bleach. Later that night, Aubrey and Bailey checked into a hotel not far from Sydney's apartment, left a few hours later, and did not return.
Okay, so this is all, listen, we see all this on the footage, on the camera footage.
Right.
So
right.
It's really hard to go against this.
Not implying any guilt necessarily, but the following day, only hours before the second date, Aubrey and Bailey were both spotted at Home Depot in Lincoln. There, they purchased an array of peculiar items. A hacksaw,
a foldable
table saw, 40-gallon trash bags, a utility knife, and two containers of bleach.
You know, all these years we've done these shows and we hear about, like, footage of people who, you know, like, I remember the show on Oxygen called Buried in the Backyard.
Oh,
and
yeah.
People would go and just buy everything that you need. I mean, maybe it's because I work in this genre, but if I see someone walking out of like a Walmart or a Home Depot with these things, I'm immediately asking questions.
Well, but like, you know, people who do this like construction and or like a huge cleanup job for stuff like that, like it's not crazy to think about that. But it's funny you were going to say buried in the backyard because when you were mentioning the coffee you bought and how it was so bad you threw it in the backyard, I almost said buried in the backyard.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. My Starbucks pumpkin spice latte has been buried in my backyard. Anyway, so after being on the run for 10 days, and by the way, you have to kind of wonder, like, did they know that, like, the police would be on to them? Especially because, you know, the best friend was on Tinder and setting things up. But after being on the run for 10 days, the two learned that the police officially declared them persons of interest. In a seeming attempt at a backlash to the authorities, the couple shared a video to Sydney's Facebook page where they declared their innocence in her disappearance.
Jesus.
Bailey stated that on the night of November 15th, she and Sydney had their second date where they drove around, smoked, and simply hung out. Well, how are you going around on another date if you're dating this other guy? Like, what's going on there, Bailey? Well, she claimed that at the end of the night, Sydney requested to be dropped off at a friend's house rather than her home. According to Bailey, she then dropped off Sydney and never saw her again. The couple ended the video by expressing their sympathies to the Loof family and stating their hope that Sydney is found safely. Now, keep in mind, they're being hunted, but are, like, wishing the family well on Facebook. Like, this is this is social media at its worst, I would say. Apparently unnerved by the comments on the first video accusing the pair of harming Sydney, Aubrey later went on to make a second video further expressing his innocence. In this video, he stated, quote, "I'm a crook. I'm a thief. I have been all my life, okay? But I'm not what you're trying to make me out to be," end quote. Well, okay.
Okay.
Well, on November 30th, officials were able to successfully track down Aubrey and Bailey to a motel in Branson, Missouri, where they were arrested. Without a body or any direct evidence of foul play, police could not arrest them for anything related to Sydney's disappearance or suspected murder. Instead, they were arrested for previous crimes of fraud, just so investigators could finally get them into custody. You hear about this often, right? Like, especially with people who are on the
run. We're
going
to get them for something else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like whenever Brian, what's his face from the Gabby Petito story? Laundry. I feel like they were trying to like get him for something unrelated because they weren't able to prove it, just to kind of get him into custody, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So while the suspects were, while the suspects in her disappearance had been apprehended, authorities still had no leads as to Sydney's actual whereabouts. Remember, there's no body. They don't know where she's been.
Nothing.
And with, you know, we've got Snapchat. We, you know, this is a very modern case, very recent case.
We
still
don't even know if there have been foul play.
Exactly. Yeah. So even after they had been caught, Aubrey and Bailey still insisted they had nothing to do with her disappearance. But unconvinced, police tracked their cell phones to see where exactly they had been and began searching the route for any evidence or worst case scenario, Sydney's remains. By the way, we should mention cell phone data at this point is a very different thing than it was, say, in the 1999 wrongful conviction of Adnan Syed. Okay.
Correct.
All right. There we
Correct.
Go.
Correct. Yeah.
There's GPS now. We got this. Anyway, after following the trail of pinged cell phone locations for several days, on December 4th, the Loof family's worst nightmare was proven true. The phone data collected directed authorities to a spot where Aubrey and Bailey had stopped in the middle of the night stopped in the middle of the Nebraska highway. I have no idea why I said in the middle of the night.
No, it's fine. Which is not good. Stopping
Definitely
in the middle
not.
Of the Nebraska highway doesn't seem great.
Right.
After only a few minutes of searching, police were able to locate a black trash bag. Inside were pieces of Sydney's dismembered body. This trash bag would be the first of 13 different body parts that would be discovered scattered along the highway, all belonging to the missing 23-year-old. Remember, they bought all those big trash bags.
Right.
Forensics suggested that each cut was made with a finely toothed saw, similar to the one Aubrey and Bailey were seen buying the day Sydney was last seen. Along with the body parts, numerous other pieces of evidence were collected, such as tarps, torn pajamas, trash bags, bleached bed sheets, several sex toys, wire, and rubber gloves. It doesn't seem like this couple really hid the body that well.
No.
Like, throw it all in the river. Why are you throwing it on the side of a highway? Like, it's going to get fucking found.
Right.
On two separate highways, investigators found items that had previously been missing from Sydney's purse, her driver's license and credit card, as well as her car keys. I'm laughing only because it seems like they...
So obvious.
Like, girl, cut up the driver's license or something. Like,
well,
you're gonna
right.
leave it? Like, Jesus. Each designated crime scene fit perfectly into the trail of pinged cell phone locations left by the two suspects. Despite evidence piling up against the pair, they continued to vehemently deny any involvement for several more weeks. On January 24th, 2018.
Hey, ooh, what was I doing?
John Thrasher's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey let his guard down during a phone call, while being held in federal prison. During the phone call, he said, "I will say I'm accountable for it. The reason for it will all come out," end quote. Aubrey went on to insist that Bailey had nothing to do with it, and he was the sole person responsible for Sydney's death.
Okay, so they went from, "I'm not the guy you're trying to make me out to be," that suddenly he's the only one involved. Yeah, we've heard this stories so before. Nice try.
Right.
Over the next few months, Aubrey's story changed nearly every time he told it. At first, he claimed that he was the only person involved in Sydney's killing. Then he stated that her death was an accident. Next, he told detectives that Bailey was also present when Sydney died because the three were having sex. Aubrey then informs police that he got paid to make pornographic videos for different kinks and fetishes, one of which being choking. He stated that after paying Sydney to be featured in one of his movies, he accidentally killed her.
Which is
listen,
different.
You do hear
like
this.
Like a snuff film. Well,
yeah,
snuff
exactly.
films, but you usually kill them in snuff films, so I don't,
Well, despite remaining firm in his claim that the death was an accident, Aubrey still could not explain why exactly he purchased the hacksaw and other materials for the day Sydney was missing. Right, listen. Okay, all of this may be somewhat believable in some sense, but if you're buying all these products on top of it on the exact same day, it's a little sus, okay?
A little sus.
While the investigation into Sydney's murder continued, both Aubrey and Bailey would begin their respective trials for the various other crimes that they had committed. Both had been charged with transporting stolen goods over state lines and fraud. These charges alone carried a possible sentence of 30-plus years in jail. Both Aubrey and Bailey pled not guilty to the theft charges, but guilty to the fraud charges. Finally, after months of questioning and analyzing evidence, Aubrey and Bailey were formally charged with first-degree murder and improper disposal of human remains on June 11th, 2018. I mean, this is literally just a few years ago. Yeah. The state announced that they plan to seek capital punishment for both defendants due to the maliciousness of the crime, which, right, as a reminder, she was hacked up and put into garbage bags and left on the side of the road. That's not like an accident occurred here.
No, that's intentional. In the second week of his trial, Aubrey made a public suicide attempt at the beginning of the court proceedings. Wow. While the judge is calling the court into order, Aubrey stood up and yelled, "Bailey is innocent. I curse you all," before stabbing himself in the neck with a sharp object.
Oh, boy.
This attempt on his own life was unsuccessful, and the trial proceeded without him as he recovered from his self-inflicted injury. Later in the trial, several previous members of the so-called vampire sex cult took the stand as character witnesses. It was their testimony that destroyed the defense's claim that Sydney's death was unintentional. Hmm. One of the witches, named Ashley Hills, shared her disturbing experiences while living with Aubrey and Bailey during her time in the cult. She described Aubrey as a master manipulator who preyed upon young, mentally unstable women. Mm. She identified Bailey as a second in command in regard to the hierarchy within the cult, and testified that the two would often share their fantasies about murder and harming others. Mm. Ashley claimed that at one point she was ordered to kill another witch, a witch named Anastasia Goliakova.
Listen, I like professional tennis, so I've got a lot of these crazy names.
Yeah, that's true.
In my head.
But doesn't Goliakova sound more right?
Yeah, Goliakova, yeah, or Goliakova. It's hard to say exactly how you would pronounce it.
Well, Aubrey told Ashley that Anastasia wasn't evil enough to be one of his witches, and in order to maintain her position, she would have to kill her. Remember, the last breath.
Right.
He told Ashley that once the murder was completed, she'd be granted magical powers, but to grow even more powerful, she would have to torture the victim for 2 to 3 hours before taking her life. Mm. Jesus. Anastasia herself also took the stand to verify Ashley's claims.
Wow. I mean, you know, really quickly before we wrap up the end of this crazy story is like, one of the things about cults that is so interesting to me and why, and I know you love cults too, Darren, in terms of like understanding the psychology, I mean, is that, you know, like this guy's saying you can get magical powers and people are believing him. Like, it makes me worried about how susceptible a standard, maybe average, I guess you could say, human mind is, because wow, I don't know. I'm not trying to say I'm above any of this, but I think it would be really hard for me to, you know, do anything and inflict this kind of harm and then say I'm trying to get magical powers. And I'm a huge Marvel fan, so saying that is a big deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a big deal for Johnny Boy right there.
Thank you. Well, anyway, the trial ended on July 11th, 2019, after which time the jury deliberated for roughly 4 hours before finding Aubrey guilty of first-degree murder. Bailey Boswell's trial began on September 25th, 2018, after she too pled not guilty to the charge of first-degree murder. At her own trial, Bailey never once claimed that Sydney's death had been an accident, but rather that she had been forced to participate in the cult, painting herself as another one of Aubrey's victims. I mean, it does seem to be that, you know, he's this ringleader and everyone else is just following his direction. I mean, I will give Bailey that, if nothing else. Well, Ashley Hills and Anastasia Goliakova, or Goliakova, were brought to the stand yet again to testify against Bailey. Both claimed that she was just as bloodthirsty and dangerous as Aubrey, and they believed she was perfectly capable of the crimes being accused. They again spoke of the couple's murderous fantasies and disturbing commands for the so-called witches. On October 14th, 2020, we're well into the pandemic at this point, after 3.5 hours of deliberation, the jury found her guilty of first-degree murder. With two successful convictions, the court now deliberated on sentencing each defendant. Aubrey requested a new trial, claiming that since he wasn't present due to his suicide attempt, that the trial was not fair. I don't know about that. This was denied by the court, who also went, seeing how his reason for being absent was of his own doing. That's exactly what I was going to say. On June 9th, 2021, Aubrey Traill was sentenced to death by lethal injection. As of October 2022, where we are today, he still sits on death row awaiting his execution. Bailey, too, requested a new trial, claiming that the jury members were biased because they were locals to the area where the crime had been committed. This motion was denied by the court. On November 8th, 2021, the panel of three judges sentenced Bailey Boswell to life in prison, narrowly avoiding being the first woman in Nebraska history to be sentenced to death. And she is currently being held at the Saline County Jail, where she will remain for the rest of her natural born life. So, listen, it's Halloween. We've got witches. We've got vampire sugar daddies.
We've got lesbians. We got lesbians.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a really tragic story. I mean, you know, a lot of this, you know, in a sense, it's their silver lining is that these people were brought to justice because, listen, especially in the middle of Nebraska, I feel like it's so easy to do this, you know, what this terrible stuff that happened to this woman and get away with it because maybe there aren't as many cameras. There's tons of places to bury a body and get rid of a body. So just looking knowing.
Looking at the images of everything. Sorry. It's just like them looking through the cornfields and everything.
Oh, Lord.
And
yeah. It's very Nebraska, middle America.
It's just sad. Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough.
But let's end on a positive note, John. And I want you to take the first listener shout out.
Let's get right into it. Darren, I recently dropped the ball on a recent episode and forgot to give a very special birthday shout out to one of our most loyal listeners, Brittany Goodman. Happy 26th birthday, Brittany. We hope you had an amazing birthday on October 8th. And this is me making up for forgetting. Actually, I didn't forget, but anyway.
You're just a dick. Happy birthday, Brittany Goodman. Belated birthday. I hope it was amazing. 26 was an awesome age. Mm-hmm. Don't go into some lesbian sex cult or become a witch.
Don't do that.
That's my piece of advice.
Yeah.
J.S. Conley in our Facebook group was at the Disney...
Hold on. The entire reason I gave you this listener shout out is because I wanted you to try to pronounce
this. Oogie Boogie Halloween Bash at Disney the same time you were at Universal, John. God. And J.S. Conley says, quote, LOL, but I can totally relate to the pain at the end of the day from walking, standing in lines at 37.
Yep.
I'm too old for these shenanigans.
Yep. Thank
How
you,
about
JS.
Not going to the Oogie Boogie Halloween Bash in the first place.
I just want you to know.
I digress. Nope. Yeah. I digress. Nope. I'm digressing.
Okay. Nope. You're digressing. Yeah. I do want to just say Oogie Boogie is one of the characters from Nightmare Before Christmas. And if you don't know who that is your problem.
The Oogie Boogie Man. And I know because when you open him up, he's filled with bugs. And I had him because I got him as a Hanukkah gift 1 year. So I know. Oh,
all right. Well, damn, you just put me in my place.
Yeah.
Speaking of Halloween, you guys. And by the way, J.S. Conley, thank you for sympathizing with me.
And having me pronounce fucking
And having
Oogie
Darren
Boogie
pronounce it.
Halloween Bash.
Very much worth it. Absolutely. Speaking of Halloween, Darren, we have two new merch designs live in our merch store right now.
Yes, we have our Halloween limited edition t-shirt, which says Pumpkins, Witches, which brings on a whole new meaning after
That's
this episode.
True, yeah.
Ghosts and True Crime Shows is available until October 31st. Get it now. You can also get it on a hoodie, a sticker, a phone case, a pillow, a coffee mug, whatever you want, but it is only available until October 31st at 11:59 p.m.
That's right. It's super limited edition. We'll be doing more of these in the future. The other one is our Thanksgiving design, which is also a limited edition, which says, TBH, the only thing I'm thankful for are my true crime shows, which I feel like so many of us can relate to. This is live now and will be available for purchase until December 1st. And just like the other one, you can put this on any piece of merch that you like. Pillows, phone cases, mugs, masks, whatever you want. It's amazing.
Also, we announced our Patreon Superfan gift giveaway. If you are at the Superfan tier on Patreon, we are sending you our annual free gift as a thank you to subscribing.
That's right. And you're actually getting two gifts. One kind of made by me and the other one very made by Darren. It's going to be really exciting. Check your Patreon inbox and post page if you're already a Superfan subscriber on how to opt in to receive your gift. And you have until October 31st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern time. One more week from the time that this episode drops. So go get it.
And if you want the gifts but haven't signed up yet, you're in luck. You just need to sign up as a super fan and opt in before October 31st at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you're set.
Yeah, yeah, truly. All links for Patreon can be found in our show notes, or you can just go to patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed, all one word.
There, of course, we have to end the episode thanking our beloved witch. We are in her coven. She is my witch of all witches. We have to thank Megan. 1, 2, 3.
Thanks Megan.
By the way, see you guys. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, before we sign off, I want to say that Megan, we tasked Megan with coming up with some, or researching some Halloween-ish centric shows, and I think she really pulled an interesting one out this week. So thanks. Extra thanks to Megan for this week.
Yes, and we're getting closer to spooky season Halloween. So we'll see you next week as we inch closer.
Darren, good luck with your voice, okay, sweetie? We'll talk soon. Go on vocal rest. We need it.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.